The Public News Service Daily Newscast, January the 28th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. The North Carolina Department of Public Safety has created a pilot COVID motel in Durham, functioning as quarantine housing for people being released from prison there. Advocates say the motel may be unconstitutionally extending incarceration periods for some.
According to a letter recently sent to DPS officials by Emancipate NC, a legal and policy advocacy organization, some individuals are being detained beyond the quarantine period or are being sent back to prison for violating vague and legally unsupported motel rules. Attorney at Emancipate NC, Ian Mance, says he supports the effort to increase housing options for people who are re-entering society during the pandemic. But he's concerned the program may conflict with state law.
The general statutes don't empower DPS to extend people's incarceration in this way, and that's really what this hotel in Durham seems to be. They've said in press statements that they're not holding people, but anyone who then visits the hotel can see that that's not true. People are not free to leave, and those that have attempted to have been, in some cases, sent back to jail or prison.
He notes that the average length of stay at the motel is 18 days and says multiple residents have been detained for a month or longer. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
Many older folks in Pennsylvania say they are encountering roadblocks as they try to schedule appointments to get their COVID-19 vaccine.
The Keystone State has initiated the 1A phase of vaccination distribution, making 2.5 million Pennsylvanians age 65 and older eligible to receive the vaccine. But according to Bill Johnston Walsh, state director of AARP Pennsylvania, people are being frustrated by long delays and malfunctions with the phone and web systems the state has created to help people make appointments with healthcare providers, hospitals, and pharmacies to actually receive their vaccinations.
They're being held online. They can't get through. The websites tell them that they can't sign up for a vaccination right now. There's overflowing mailboxes. Automated messages stating that there's no appointments available at this time.
AARP has sent a letter to Governor Tom Wolf calling for greater transparency and expanded distribution to assure vaccine availability in all communities throughout the state. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
CNN reports Speaker Nancy Pelosi Thursday slammed House Republican leaders for not doing more to rebuke GOP Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia over her shocking rhetoric and past statements. At her weekly news conference, Pelosi said assigning her to the Education Committee when she has mocked the killing of little children at Sandy Hook Elementary School, when she has mocked the killing of teenagers in high school at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, what could they be thinking? This is PMS. The Washington governor wants buildings to clean up their act. Eric Tegedoff reports at the request of Governor Jay Inslee, Evergreen state lawmakers are considering legislation to reduce the climate impact of buildings and homes.
Buildings make up more than a quarter of carbon emissions in the state. Steve Gill with Emerald Cities Collaborative says the state needs to start constructing all electric buildings as soon as it can so it doesn't dig a deeper hole on emissions.
The buildings we build today will be around in 50 years, long after we hope to have achieved our climate goals.
The legislation would require any new building started in 2030 or after to be zero carbon.
Now we head to Georgia, where Latin American communities are welcoming the new White House commitment to environmental protection. Mary Sherman reports for Soundbite Source.
The new efforts include reducing greenhouse gas emissions, creating clean jobs, and addressing current and historic environmental injustices. Isabel Hilago is with Poder Latinx in Georgia, an immigrant climate and economic justice advocacy group. She says the actions offer new hope for underrepresented, vulnerable communities.
Restoring science-based policy, restoring international climate leadership. These are such bold commitments, and Latinx must have a voice. Our voice is essential to understanding the climate crisis, and we stand to be an important ally in this mitigation.
Hilago contends Latin American communities have borne the undue burdens and stresses of environmental pollution, economic and racial inequality. She says they're also feeling the health threats associated with toxic air emissions.
Air pollution, heat waves, wildfires, and extreme weather events are among the climate impacts that threaten Georgia communities. And finally, our Mike Mullen tells us advocates for the transgender community continue to speak out against a bill that would block South Dakotans from changing the sex designation on their birth certificate.
The measure cleared the lower chamber and the legislature earlier this week, despite being initially rejected by a House committee. Supporters of the bill say it's about maintaining vital records for government business and is not intended as a form of hate. But Tony Diamond of the Black Hills Center for Equality says it adds to a hostile attitude toward the LGBTQ community from some state lawmakers. Diamond, a transgender woman, says her experience shows there's no need for this type of law change.
I was able to legally change my gender marker on my birth certificate and on all my legal documentation. And when I go to a doctor appointment or when I go to fill out an application, my ID shows that I am Tony Diamond, female.
Groups such as the ACLU of South Dakota say they will fight the measure in court if it clears the remaining legislative hurdles and is signed into law. This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations all across the nation, and online at publicnewsservice.org.